The most severe level of impurity that exists comes from a dead human body. And one of the stringencies that exists with regards to this impurity is that it can be transferred onto other items in three different ways. One is via tumas mago, which means if it touches a different item that is able to become tome. Another way is tumas masa. And the transfer, which is unique to a dead human body, is tumas oihel, which is when it is under the same roof as a different item, or it's on top of or underneath a different item, that is known as tumas oihel, where the item which is over it or under the same roof as the dead body would become tome. Now, a dead animal which wasn't slaughtered in a valid way which would permit it to be eaten is also a source of impurity. Such a dead animal is called a navela, but this impurity is nowhere near as severe as a dead human body. And it can only, the impurity can only be transferred via maga, which means if it touches another item, or via masa, which is when a person carries that dead animal, that source of impurity. Now there's a third kind of dead creature. This is a dead sheretz. A sheretz is one of the eight small animals that the Torah lists, for example, a hedgehog and a weasel. There are eight specific animals that the Torah lists as being a source of impurity when they die. The concept of a nevela doesn't apply to every single animal, only larger animals, but there are eight smaller animals that the Torah lists as being a source of impurity. Those are known as the eight sherotzim, but those only transfer their impurity via being touched, via tumas mago. Now, in order for these items to be a source of impurity, it's not necessary that the entire animal exists. Even a small part of these animals would be on the same level of impurity, as long as they have a certain level of significance, which means that they are either large enough, or as this Mishnah is going to show, even if it lacks the general minimum size that is given for this to be a source of impurity. If it has significance for a different reason, for example, it's an entire limb, even if it's very small, it would be significant enough to be a proper source of impurity, just like the full dead body. And that's what the Mishnah means when it says, Ha'ivorin ein lohen shiur, the limbs don't have a minimum size. If there is an entire limb, then even if it's very small, it would be on the same level as a source of impurity as if the entire dead body was there. So, afilu pachas mekazayis min hameis, even if it's less than the size of an olive of a dead human body, which is the general minimum size of a human body for it to be a source of impurity, on the same level as the full dead body, upachas mekazayis min arveila, or if it's less than the size of an olive of a dead regular animal, upachas mekadosh min asheretz, or if it's smaller than the size of a lentil, of one of these eight smaller animals that the Torah lists as being a source of impurity, even though it's very small, since it represents an entire limb of that animal or person, metamin tumasan, they would transfer their impurity onwards to the same degree as the complete body. Mishnah Ches, this Mishnah counts masayim v'arboim v'shmoina evarim ba'odom, there are 248 limbs in a human body. So it's apparent that when we talk about a limb over here, it doesn't refer to an entire hand or an entire arm, but rather to any bone that is surrounded and contains with it flesh and sinews. The term sinews refers to different tissues in the body, or even nerves and arteries. These are all included. So if any of these tissues of the body are together with flesh and bone, that is what it defines a limb of the body, and there are 248 of these inside the body. And any one of these 248, even if they are smaller than a kazayas, the size of an olive, they would be a source of impurity on the exact same level as the complete human body. And the Mishnah counts these 248 limbs as follows. Shloshim befisas haregel. There are 30 literally on the sole of the foot, meaning there are 30 in the foot. Shisha b'chol etzba, 6 bones for each of the toes. These are 6 bones which are attached to each other, and the truth is they don't end at the toes. The bones are all connected all the way across the foot. But there are 5 rows of these 6 bones, all together making up 30 bones in the foot, and each of those bones contains with it flesh and nerves and other body parts, and they would each be considered a limb. Asar bakarsal, there are 10 in the ankle, Shnayim b'shoik, two in the lower leg, in between the knee and the ankle. Chamisha b'arkuva, five bones, which again, when we say bones, that means bones which are together with flesh and nerves or arteries and other tissues. So there are five of those in the knee. Echel b'yorech, one at the thigh. This refers essentially to the upper leg, in between the knee and the person's hip. Shlosha b'katlis, three bones at the person's hip. Achas esrei tzlois, 11 ribs. Shloshim b'fisas hayod, 30 in the person's palm of his hand, essentially in his hand. Shishol b'chol etzba, once again, 6 for each finger. 6 bones, and when we say 6 bones per each finger, that means that it runs across the entire hand all the way to the wrist. Shnayim b'kone, 2 bones in the lower part of one's arm, in between his wrist and his elbow. Shnayim b'marpek, 2 bones in the elbow itself. Echad b'zreya, 1 bone in the upper part of the arm. V'arboa b'kosef, and 4 of the shoulder. Me'ov echad mizeh, altogether that makes up 101 bones, which again are surrounded with flesh and other nerves and tissues. 101 for one side of the body, and that can all be doubled, and 101 on the other side of the body, for the other hand, the other foot, etc. That gives us 202 out of the 248, so there's another 46 limbs that the Mishnah has not yet counted. 18 vertebrae in the spine, the 18 parts of the spine is composed of. Tisha b'roish, 9 of these bones in the person's skull. Shmoina b'tzavor, 8 in the person's neck. Shisha b'mafter shel halev, 6 in literally the opening of the heart. That refers to the chest area. Bachamisha b'nekovov, and 5 bones in the area of the digestive system and where he excuses himself. Altogether, that makes up 248 limbs. Kol echad v'echad metami b'mago, uv'maso v'oihel. Each of these limbs would be a source of impurity and can transfer the impurity onwards via touch, or if a person carries it, or if a person or item, any utensil, is under the same roof as the dead body, or over the dead body or underneath the dead body. Those are the 3 kinds of tumas oihel. And this is true even if the limb is very, very small, because the fact that it's a limb and it has all of these different parts together gives it extra significance. But this is only true if indeed there are those other body parts together with the bone. So the Mishnah explains, Emosai, when is this the case? If it has enough flesh connected to it. And enough flesh is enough flesh to be able to be rejuvenated if it were to be attached to the body. We're talking about a limb which is no longer attached to the body, but there has to be enough flesh that if it was attached to the body, then it would be able to rejuvenate and become part of the body properly and continue to function. But if there is not that sufficient amount of flesh attached to the bone and the other tissues, then it's true that it would still be able to make something tome via touch or being carried. For that, even a tiny amount of bone the size of a corn of barley is enough. However, it would not be a source of impurity via tumas oihel to make anything which is under the same roof or over it or under it tome as well. That only applies if there is a full limb of a hair or if there is flesh the size of a kazayas, the size of an olive. Perek Mishnah Aleph. This Mishnah is very much a continuation of the end of the previous perek, and continues to discuss the minimum amount of a dead body that is needed for it to be a proper source of impurity, that its impurity can be transferred even via tumas oihel, via being under the same roof as a different item, or alternatively being over or underneath a different item. And it was mentioned in the previous perek that a full limb, regardless of its size, would be able to transfer its impurity even via tumas oihel, as well as the size of an olive of flesh, which comes from a dead body. This Mishnah elaborates further. The following parts of a dead body can make the impurity which it contains be transferred via Tumas Oihel, and not only by Tumas Mago and Maso, which is if it's touched or carried. Because of the significance of the size of the following things, its impurity can be transferred even via Tumas Oihel. Hames, firstly, a full dead body, even if the entire body in its complete form is smaller than the size of an olive, and this would be the case with an embryo, the beginning of a human body being formed. If the embryo didn't survive, it would still be a source of impurity. And that's even if it lacks the minimum size, because it's the full body. The kazayas min ha-meis, and as we mentioned in the end of the previous perek, the size of an olive of flesh which comes from the dead body, the kazayas netzel, the size of an olive of the gel which has been produced from the dead body's flesh that has congealed over time. This law is actually a halacha l'Moshe Mesinai. It's a tradition that we have going back from Moshe Rabbeinu that he received at Har Sinai. There's no explicit mention of this written in the Torah itself. Umuloy sarvod, and a ladle full, the size of a large spoon, full of rokov, which is the dust that has been produced from the dead body after having decomposed. And this is only a source of impurity via Tumas Oihel if there is no other dust mixed in with the dust of the decomposed body. And it's likely that that would only really be the case if the dead body was inside a coffin made of a material that doesn't decompose at all, doesn't produce dust, and as well as that, it must be that the dead body wasn't wrapped in the regular burial shrouds that a dead body is wrapped in. Because if that was the case, then part of the dust which is there from the decomposed body would be the dust of the other materials there. But in a case where the dead body was by itself, inside a coffin that doesn't decompose at all, so then we can be sure that there is a spoonful of the dust that comes from the dead body and nothing else mixed in with it. So then that rock of that dust of the dead body would be a source of impurity even via Tumas Oihel. Hashidra, a spine that comes from a dead body, v'hagul goles, and a skull, regardless of their size, even if it comes from a small baby or a fetus even, these would be proper sources of impurity, just like a full dead body, because it's learned from Psukim that a part of the body or the part of the skeleton that is very much recognizable that it comes from a human body, that gives it an extra level of significance that it would be a proper source of impurity, just like the dead body in its complete form. Evrim in Ameis, like we learned in the end of the previous perek, the previous chapter, a full limb of the dead body, regardless of its size, the Evrim in Achai, or a full limb that came off and was separated from an alive person, that has an identical law to a limb that came off of a dead body, Shiesh Aleim Bosa Koro'oi, as long as they have enough flesh attached to them that if it were attached to the body, it would be able to be rejuvenated. Rova atzomais, a quarter of a kav, that's a certain volume of bones, even if it's not mixed with any flesh or nerves or other tissues of the body, since there is a significant amount of bones alone, merov habinyan, from the majority of the skeleton structure of the person, merov habinyan, or the majority of the number of bones in the skeleton of the human body. And the truth is, there's no need for the quarter of a kav of bones to make up also the majority of the skeleton. The Mishnah just talks about the majority because of the next part of the Mishnah, but in truth, if there is a quarter of a kav of bones, then even if it doesn't altogether make up the majority of the skeleton, that would be still enough to be a proper source of impurity. Now the Mishnah says, even if there is less than that number of bones, but v'rov binyonei v'rov minyonei shel meis, the bones make up the majority of the structure of the skeleton, or the majority of the number of bones in the human body. The majority of the structure consists of all of the bones in the lower part of the body, minus one of the top half of the legs. So one of the legs without the top part above the knee, and one of the legs with the top part above the knee, that would make up the majority of the structure of the skeleton, in terms of its size. Avabish Emben Rova, even if the bones altogether are less than a quarter of a kav, Tmein, they would be fully impure, just like a full dead body. Kamahu Rov Minyonai, the Mishnah ends off. How many bones are necessary to make up the majority of the number of bones in the skeleton? Me'ov Esma Chamisha. 125, because as we saw at the end of the previous perek, the previous chapter, there are 248 bones surrounded by flesh and other tissues, etc. in the body, so the majority of that would be 125. Mishnah Beis, the list of the parts of a dead body that are able to transfer their impurity even via Tumas Oihel, via being under the same roof, or over or under another item, that list continues. Revius Dom, a quarter of a loig of blood that came out of the body after the person died. Revius Dam Tavusa, and a quarter of a loig of blood, which is called Dam Tavusa. Dam Tavusa refers to blood that part of it came out of the person's body before he died, and part of the blood came out of his body after he already took his last breath and died. Midoraisa, such blood cannot become tome. Midoraisa, according to the Torah, only a quarter of a loig of blood that comes out of the body after the person died is enough to make things tome. But if part of that revius, part of that quarter of a loig of blood, came out of the body before he died, then it is only tome midrabbanan. Be it as it may, in either of these two cases, whether it's enough blood that it's tome midraraisa according to the Torah, or only midrabbanan, memeis echad, according to the first opinion of the Mishnah, it only transfers its tumah even via tumas oihel, via being under the same roof, etc., if the entire quarter of a loig came from the same dead body. Rabbi Akiva says, Mishnei Mesim, even if it comes from two dead bodies, it would still make other things tome via Tumas Oihel. And this argument is based on how to understand the Pesukim, and whatever the law is with regards to that which is tome midoraisa, that would apply midrabbanan identically to the Dam Tavusa, the blood that part of it came out of the body before the person died. Now, just like we saw earlier on that a full human form, for example, a full embryo, is a source of impurity, just like a regular dead human being, if the full embryo is there, then even if it's smaller than the size of an olive, which is the general minimum size that it would need to be there to be the source of impurity, the fact that the full form of the embryo is there gives it extra significance. That means that it would transfer its impurity even though it lacks the general minimum size. On a similar note, dam katon sheyotza kuloi, if all of the blood of the embryo comes out of the embryo, and we have in front of us all of the blood of that human being, despite the fact that it is less than a quarter of a loig, Rabbi Akiva says, kol shehu, even a small amount, regardless of its volume, it would be a source of impurity that can be transferred even via Tumas Oihel, because the fact that it is all of the blood of that body means that it would transfer its impurity, because it's considered significant. However, the Chacham say revius, only if there is indeed a quarter of a loig of blood, would it transfer its tumah even via Tumas Oihel. And although the Chacham agree in principle to Rabbi Akiva that all of the blood of a body does carry with it extra significance, according to the Chachomim, it's practically impossible that every last drop of blood came out of the body. There'll always be some blood left in the embryo. And because of that, practically speaking, only if there is a quarter of a loig of blood would it be a source of impurity that can be transferred even via Tumas Oihel. Continues the Mishnah, Kazais Rimo, the size of an olive of worms that are mixed with the flesh that is decomposed. Bein chayo bein meso, whether the worms are alive or dead, Rabbi Akiva matame kivasoi, Rabbi Akiva says that it makes things tome in an identical way to the flesh itself, and that tumor can be transferred via Tumas Oihel. This is learned from the fact that a person is compared to worms, and every person, once they die, their flesh turns into worms and is eaten up by worms, and therefore the worms that are eating the flesh are considered to be even like the flesh itself. However, the Chachom say that it would be pure. They argue with this concept of Rabbi Eliezer. Efer Serufim, the ash of a human body that has been burnt up. Rabbi Eliezer says, Shiuroi Berova, the size which is necessary in order to be a source of impurity that can be transferred even via Tumas Oihel, is a quarter of a kav, which is equivalent to the amount given for bones. Even though this ash is made up of other parts of the body that have been burnt as well, not specifically bones, Eliezer understands that the size is according to the size and the amount of bones which are needed, possibly because the bones are the most significant part of the body. And it should be mentioned that the ashes are only a source of impurity, like the body itself, if there is nothing else mixed together with the ashes. If it's only the ashes of the human body that have been burnt, without any other ashes mixed in, then it would be a source of impurity. This would be the case if it was burnt, for example, on a very hot stone, instead of being burnt together with wood. If it was burnt with wood, then there would be the ashes of the wood as well. Be it as it may, the Chachom say that it would not be a source of impurity, because as soon as it's turned into ash, it's no longer considered to be the same thing. This is no longer that same human body. It's a different entity, and therefore it wouldn't be a source of impurity. Meloi sarved v'oid. Slightly more than a ladleful, a large spoonful of afar kvoros, the dust that comes from inside of a coffin. We learned earlier on that a large spoonful of dust that came from a decomposed dead body is a source of impurity, but over there, there's nothing else mixed in. In this case, there's the dust of the coffin itself that is mixed in. However, within the mixture, there is still at least if a large spoonful of the dust that came from the dead body. Just the point is that there is also other dust mixed in. So in this case, according to the first opinion of the Mishnah Tomei, it would be a source of impurity, because at the end of the day, there is a large spoonful of the dust of the dead body. However, Rabbi Shimon says that it wouldn't be a source of impurity, because according to Rabbi Shimon, it transfers its impurity only if there is nothing else mixed in with that dust. Otherwise, it would lose its significance. Meloi sarved rokov shekvolu b'mayim, a large spoonful of the dust that came from a dead body alone, and there's nothing else mixed in with it. So according to everybody, it is a source of impurity. Shekvolu b'mayim, that he mixed and turned into a kind of paste with water. Eino chibur l'tumah, it is not considered to be all connected as one item in terms of the laws of impurity. That is to say, each particle of the dust we still view as a separate entity from the other particles. And the significance of this is that in order for its tumah to be transferred via tumas oihel, all of it would need to be inside that room, under the same roof. In general, if let's say there is a piece of flesh that is the size of an olive, even if only part of it is under the roof, it would be a source of impurity to anything under that roof. But in this case, where each piece of dust is considered to be separate from the other pieces, only if all of it is under the roof, would it indeed be a source of impurity for the items that are under the roof. In addition, because each piece of dust is considered to be separate, somebody who touches this dust would not become Tomei, because he's never able to touch enough dust that it will be considered that he's touching a spoonful of dust at the same time. He's only touching part of it. And the Mishnah is teaching that even once it's been mixed with water and it does form some kind of paste together and the pieces of dust stick together, it is still considered to be many, many different items.